For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well done, Shine. I know who that's for. That's Wiggy? Probably, I would say that's probably her. Me. Don't you think that's her best song? I would say, out of all of them. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Remember there was a time when all these celebrity sex tapes were being released and the actress was shocked that they were released, and then you find out they had a contract with a given video?
Yes. Yeah, it's like Paris Hilton. Yeah, Courtney's our very own Paris Hilton.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't. I posted a reel yesterday, Greg, and I found out 3 hours later my boob was fully exposed in it.
Oh, really?
You should have seen all these DMs I was getting.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, it was the one day. It was the one day in my life I wasn't on Instagram for 3 straight hours looking at comments.
No. You two know me. You know I would not be showing my boobs on any
time. We do know you. And I would lean more to this is something you positioned perfectly.
No,
because the waters a little bit.
We know how much anxiety you have. So like, if you're putting a picture of yourself up in a tub, you're gonna like go through that. Like, ooh, let me make sure I don't have nothing crazy, because you know you always talk about those type of things.
Right.
So it's a good accidental. No. What did I call it initially? An accident, but it wasn't really an accident. I forget what I called it.
I don't know.
Oh, accidentally, intentionally put up.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to, we're going to get to They Said It at 7:20. So in about 15 minutes, that is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will definitely talk about what Kevin Garnett said about today's NBA players, which I'm sure has not made any of today's NBA players very happy. But in the meantime, we have leads left. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is the summer of Cooper Flagg, guy who hails from Maine, going to Duke, projected to be a first-round pick. He really shot to stardom once they were talking about the Olympic team, Team USA, and his performance against all of them. NBA players have come out saying that he looks like he has all the potential in the world. He has just signed a big deal with New Balance. Mitch has the video of the new commercial making the announcement. Like I said, from Maine, so a local kid, kind of a perfect fit, I think, for New Balance. But if you are a college basketball player and you're getting a shoe deal, this is going to be the way of the future.
Yeah.
College basketball players are going to be raking in more money than ever before.
The kid is really, really, really good.
Yeah. Really good.
His story is awesome.
Yep.
Like making his way around Maine in the middle of winter and playing, you know, where did he go to prep school? Did he end up did he go to Bridgeton Academy or somewhere like that?
No, I don't. I went to Bridgeton.
He is just as, you know, obviously as long as he stays healthy and develops.
Yeah. So
he will probably be the number one pick.
Yeah, he's going to be a lottery pick.
It's an unbelievable story. How much is the deal worth?
They're not disclosing that at the moment. Now, I know back in 2023, it was their first season of doing like NIL rosters for New Balance. And all the money, we talk about it all the time. It's changing the way in which college sports is being played or being handled. But to have an actual shoe deal like this is huge for a kid like Cooper Flagg. Coolest part about the story, he talks when this announcement came that his mom used to do like tent shows. She used to work tent shows where they were selling New Balances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So to have it be a full circle moment like that,
cool.
I'm so happy for him. But I do think that this is part of the issue when it comes to college athletes and the way in which coaches are going to have to deal with them, because the money is there and only going to get bigger.
Yeah, well, the NIL has completely changed college sports.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yep.
Good for him.
You have a call on line three, somebody offering you an NIP deal. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I was going to do the Jeremy Swayman kind of shine thing and just like, what the hell are the Bruins doing? That there's a chance that they could lose Jeremy Swayman if he's at that much. If that's his price, he's not coming down that low. Like I don't think he's coming down below $9 million. And are the Bruins going to give him $9
million? I would. I'd give him $9
million. I know. I would too. But are they going to do it?
They really don't have a choice. I mean, you brought it up. They traded away their other options. Mm-hmm. So,
but weren't there reports out there they were somewhere in the world of like seven?
No, I mean, he wanted eight or eight and a half was what the buzz was. But
but we know what the real buzz is from our boy Scoops Keefe.
So the eight and a half was probably what the Bruins wanted to pay.
Yeah,
I bet.
Right.
And he's like,
Yeah.
10. Because that's what, you know, Scoops Keefe is telling us. So there's a chance. He's not coming past 9. Are they going to be willing to come up? But that was going to be my original lead, but Shime jumped on it, so I don't want to double up. But I always keep an extra clip in the holster just in case.
We're getting a second helping.
Well, just lead. Really quick, because I think this is pretty good, and I got to give her credit. I give them both credit, but Angel Reese was right. I don't know if you saw this story, that how she shattered the WNBA rebound record. She had 22 rebounds in a game, and she went three games with 20-plus rebounds. Like, ridiculous. But she was right when she said, and she didn't say, but I think we were saying it, that her and Caitlin Clark are the Magic and Bird of the WNBA because of just the buzz that she gets and the buzz that Caitlin Clark gets, and Angel Reese utilizes her, you know, her femininity. Am I saying that right? You know, she, like, they do the walk before the games that the women dress up is a big thing, and she's doing the Reese's Cups, and Caitlin Clark's doing a lot of other stuff. But she was right when she said that they are the Magic and Bird of the WNBA, because
you make a great point. Look, neither one of them were playing last week at the Garden, and that game was a sellout,
right?
So they have created a lot of interest in the WNBA,
and they go
whether it lasts or not, I don't know, but
and they go hand in hand. Like, I think Caitlin Clark would still be a buzz, but she wouldn't be as big a buzz if there was never this Angel Reese story.
Okay, thank you,
and same for her.
Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
I hate when I have to say I told you so, but I told you so. Mm-hmm. When a couple of years ago, when you were inclined to punish successful people in this state with a millionaire's tax, I told you it was going to create issues.
Yeah.
And none other than the great Bill Belichick spoke yesterday with Pat McAfee on that very topic.
What's that millionaire's tax about, Coach?
Yeah, what's that?
That's strictly New England or what?
What's that? Oh, yeah, it's Taxachusetts. Yeah.
They take
more from you. So virtually every player, even a practice squad, even the minimum players are pretty close to $1 million. And so once you hit that $1 million threshold, then you pay more state tax in Massachusetts. So, yeah, just another thing you got to contend with in negotiations up there. It's not like Tennessee or, you know, Florida or Nevada or some of these teams that have no state income tax. So you get hit pretty hard on that, you know, with the agents, they'll come and sledgehammer you down about, you know, the types of tax they're paying. That's we good. Don't get any benefit from that.
That's good business, baby, you know, for Massachusetts and from the agents. But
okay.
Ain't good from, business for Mass.
From the horse's mouth.
Yes. Greg called this from jump. Yeah,
thank you, Courtney. You
no, this is, I mean, this is all you needed was Bill Belichick to say exactly what
that's a guy who was doing it.
Right.
In the room, negotiating with free agents, wondering why you can't get anybody to come here. There's your answer.
Right. Yep. And he's talking about even basically the 53rd or the 52nd man on the roster is still close to $1 million.
And I saw people online mad at Bill Belichick for saying this. You should be mad if you voted for this to happen. Correct. Don't be mad at Bill Belichick.
They're mad that he called it Taxachusetts.
Right.
Taxachusetts. Like,
it's what it is.
It is what it is.
They find the people that get elected here spend every single hour finding some sort of new way to tax you. Because they don't want to balance a budget. They don't want to stop spending. So the answer is to just go find more money from people, from the hardworking people of this state.
Taxachusetts.
Just let me see where that money's going.
Again, just to be clear, I don't care if it's Brandon Ayuk, if it's... you name
DeAndre Hopkins,
D Hop, whoever,
Calvin Ridley,
whoever you've been flirting with last couple seasons here and wondering afterwards why you couldn't close the deal.
Right.
This is it.
All right.
This is it. You're going to have to overpay anybody who wants to come here.
Right.
Because of the millionaire's tax.
Oh. So. Massachusetts.
Oh. But I saw like Ben Volen tweeting, you know, cough excuse, cough.
Oh, it's get
like,
out of here, Ben Volen.
What's that?
He retweeted it, him calling it Taxachusetts. It's cough excuse, cough, saying that like stop making excuses for having, you know, bad seasons at
just
the end of your
time. Just let me see where
here.
My tax is going. More gray bikes.
That's not an excuse.
Nah.
It's a reality.
Right.
It's a lot of money.
And then you look at places like Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't have an income tax.
Right. Well, or even places maybe that do, that might have a tax, but they don't have an extra tax on that already state tax.
Yeah.
So let's say you're playing in Illinois or you're playing in New York or, I don't know, some other state, Ohio, that might have a tax, but they don't have a millionaire's tax.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, those are our leads. We're going to get to They Said It coming up. This is Dan from Rhode Island. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Greg. About this tit for tat you are in with Courtney, yes. I really think you need to you really need to nip this in the bud, dude.
I will leave her alone. Yeah. I just don't. I don't believe it was accidental. I mean, the woman is very accomplished when it comes to social media.
She's the best at it.
She is really the best on the show.
Angles, everything.
At social.
Yeah, if I was very good at it, that angle would have been up close and personal and pretty perky.
I mean, and you couldn't.
But enough. Like, New Whaler said, I'm making my dad proud moment 103 for her dad. New Whaler, who tunes in every day, 4 hours.
You couldn't post that on the show Instagram?
No.
So we could get followers?
No. Nope. Why? It was deleted and it is in the trash.
What is our show Instagram?
The Greg Hill Show, WEEI.
Okay.
I mean, think about how many more followers, how that helps with ratings. Thought you were a team player.
I am a team player, but when it comes, and I stick with Free the Nip for everybody else, just not my own.
I understand that.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
We all use our assets to help our team
and we
elevate.
All have boobs.
All right. We should get to Courtney and to what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Sox had two games yesterday with the Blue Jays, two opportunities to get a win. Both were dropped. The first game ended in a 4-1 loss, and the second, a 7-3 loss. Danny Jansen, however, was the first player in MLB history to play for two different teams in the same game. Another one with Toronto at Fenway tonight. First pitch at 7:10 with Cooper Criswell getting the start. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Sean McDonough, Joe Castiglione, and Lou Maloney all have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI, and as always on the Odyssey app. In football, the NFL and NFL Players Association have mandated the use of a new device to measure field conditions before regular season games this season. It's called a strike device. It's part of a larger effort to create a set of universal guidelines for the league's 30 playing surfaces, all while addressing the contentious issues between owners and players in recent years. That is what's trending. Here's Shime with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's currently 63 degrees and sunny here in the city of Boston. The high today is 82. It'll be a beautiful day out for you here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Here in the city.
Curtis is on vacation back with us after the long Labor Day weekend, which I am sad about its arrival, but we can't do anything about it. So I hope you enjoy it. Get out and enjoy all the summer stuff that you didn't get to do. Curtis back on Tuesday.
What do you think Curtis does for fun on these days off? Like walks Castle Island and then watches like repeats of Patriots Super Bowls, like,
and then turns on like Fox
News or like JFK assassination. Yeah.
Sean Hannity. That's what Sean
conspiracy
talking about.
Conspiracy theories. Yes.
Probably throws things at little children who are making too much noise. Or I'm not a very happy guy sometimes, but you know we love him and we miss him.
Goes into a store, sits in a line for 2 seconds, harumphs and storms out.
Can't wait till he is back with us, and we are going to get to Courtney and today's news coming up at 7:45. That includes how creepy is it today, and why a wedding photographer is in trouble for capturing things on film that he was not supposed to be trying to capture. So we'll get to that coming up, but right now let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to start, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Kevin Garnett. He was doing his podcast with Paul Pierce. And he talked about players today.
Today's NBA player.
Yeah, today's NBA player and how they might have struggled a little bit 20 years ago. Here was Kevin Garnett.
If I'm being honest, bro, I don't think anybody in this generation could have played like 20 years ago. If I'm being 100, and this is to Ant, this is to everybody in our league, Tatum, all y'all. Let me tell y'all something, bro. 20 years ago, bro, you couldn't get to a triple step back.
Nah.
You hear what I'm saying to you? You couldn't get to a triple step back. And then if you shot that, it had to go in. You know why? Because we had efficiency back in the day, my dude, and it was so hard. It was too physical. And guess what? The league had to come off of it for the flow of movement to be able to have scoring go up, which is why we like to sit here and watch kind of the rat race of the high-paced game, right? But, bro, let's not talk about the gamemanship, and let's not talk about the physicality of the game back then. Real because I only think half these kids in the league could have been on an NBA team 20 years ago.
Straight up.
The locker room was too too grown.
Mm. Okay. Spot on, by the way, I think, KG. Mm-hmm. I mean, never mind, nobody plays defense in the league anymore. And so I mean, he does sound a little. We're old.
Right.
So all of these guys that we watched growing up are now turning into old men screaming at clouds. Kevin Garnett, Tom Brady.
Right.
The game was better when I played it.
Right.
But you probably agree. You probably don't agree because you love the threes.
Yeah.
You live for the threes.
I think what he's saying is more, it's different than football because there are guys that play football that I think could play 20 years ago, but basketball, because of the physicality, he's talking about more than anything. So that definitely changed what is a change in the game. Like, and when he's talking about the triple step back, yeah, maybe because it was so physical, you could hand check and guys didn't have that type of space. And when you went to the foul line, can you imagine like LeBron going to the lane or even like Tatum and getting an elbow by Kurt Rambis or one of those big centers or Pat Ewing?
A clothesline.
Yeah, so that part I get, but the game has evolved because you can't play like that because you kill each other. Football is a little bit different where like Aaron Donald could easily play 20 years ago and probably same with Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. Because it really isn't about, like, you know, there are some wide receivers would be scared to go across the middle. It'd be different for, like, a CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson. But there are some guys that could play back in our days. But basketball, I agree with him.
But has it made the game better? Has it made the NBA? I mean, there. I think for the young heads.
What do you
like
think?
Like Breece Hill loves the shooting game. And
yeah, it's more marketable, right? Yeah. To younger people, being able to shoot the three like Steph Curry is way cooler than playing defense.
You're going
to
ask me, like, 00 was a down and dirty in the paint guy.
Which one's more entertaining?
I was low post all day long.
Like, what's like, more entertaining to watch?
Give me the ball and let me bang.
What's more entertaining to watch? The games today where it's a little bit high-powered offense or games that were, you know, 68-70 back in the 80s. Like, I mean, I get the game. I think it's a little bit more entertaining in the sense to watch. For, like, if you're somebody that's, like, a basketball fan today, you're like, you might watch some of those old games and be like, man, this is boring.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, next we'll go to Wiggy's guy, Dan Orlovsky, because he said yesterday there's no amount of money you can pay him to start Drake May. This is what Dan Orlovsky said.
Couldn't pay me enough to start Drake May. I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't let anybody convince me otherwise. I got a lot of love for Lewis. Here's my stance on this. If we're looking at it through the prism of Drake May, when it comes to his development, I've loved it. He's changed protections. He's controlled and owned a little bit of the line of scrimmage. He's thrown the ball very well. The big flaw coming out of school was his feet and the erratic element of his feet. That has improved so much. So from that vantage point, I get it. I understand it. Someone give me a good reason why to play Drake May. Are you serving yourself or are you serving, you know, what people may want or what you think the organization wants or the fans want?
Well, Wiggy's been giving you...
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, give me a reason why he shouldn't play, Dan. Go. I'll wait.
Well, you give the reason why he should all the time,
right,
which is that you want him to get the live reps.
Right.
The reason that he shouldn't is the offensive line. I mean, you got a head coach of the New England Patriots on this show yesterday saying that the guys that are currently starters on this offensive line may not be around tomorrow.
Okay.
Like, you got a coach saying, yeah, we're going to go see what we can get off the waiver wire when it comes to left tackle to protect our number three pick. Like, I kind of understand it a little bit.
Reminder, Dan Orlovsky was also the guy texting Mac Jones and then defending Mac Jones and saying that the Patriots ruined a young, talented quarterback. So this is the same guy who, you know, for the last three seasons.
Is that the concern over there? Like,
I think so. But I also think that if you're Dan Orlovsky and you were on that train beating that drum for so long saying that this is not a Mac Jones problem, this is a Patriots problem, then obviously when it comes to a new young quarterback, you're going to have that same take. You're going to say, well, they ruined Mac Jones, though it's a new coaching staff this season.
Yeah, I mean, I hear people say that they think the concern when it comes to Mayo or Elliot Wolf or Robert or Jonathan Kraft or something is that they ruined Mac Jones.
That's what I think.
Like, listen, I was chief on the island. I don't think they ruined Mac Jones.
Especially not in his rookie year. That was his best year. His rookie year was undoubtedly, unquestionably, his best year as a pro.
He brought them to the playoffs.
Exactly. I don't understand. Like, it's crazy to me that people think that you're going to ruin this kid by playing him in his rookie year and then using Mac Jones as an example. Mac Jones as a rookie was as good as you could have hoped, as good as all of you people could have hoped for. You guys were all duped by it.
Mac Jones was how good it was. I feel like he was mentally weak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, you didn't really see that. You know, obviously, he faced some adversity that first season. He certainly had to face he had to play Tom Brady at Gillette Stadium.
Did a great job as rookie year.
So, I don't know if the injury, like the high ankle strain or whatever the issue, he was crying about that or what. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if it was.
Belichick didn't baby him. That's what happened to him.
Well, and I think part of it was also he had a quote-unquote offensive coordinator who, you know, Mac felt like he knew more than.
Right.
And so
He didn't buy in. And once he didn't buy in, he was then put on the blacklist from Bill, which he was out of the circle, which they then felt like this guy doesn't buy into the system. He doesn't agree with the offensive coordinator who's Bill's right-hand man. So that's why he fell apart is because he didn't buy in, and then Bill put him on ice mentally, and he wasn't able to overcome that. And I would say this to Dan Orlovsky, whatever the hell his last name is.
It works.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
Love.
How do you feel about, why don't I hear you saying this about Jaden Daniels? Go to PFF, right, for all the stat nerds out there.
Get him, Wig.
PFF has the Washington Commanders offensive line ranked at number 27.
Sure does.
The New England Patriots are ranked at 28. So one spot ahead of New England.
Yeah.
Why isn't he saying that about Jaden Daniels and the Washington staff? And why no one? And that's the thing. It's these analysts, when we ask them all the time why we shouldn't play Drake May, the only thing they say is, oh, the O-line thinks he's going to get hurt. So, Dan, what happens in week three when Jacoby Brissett gets hurt? And then I heard Rich Keefe talking about this, or him and Adam Jones, and they made a good point. What's the difference between week four or week five between starting them in week one? If they're like, well, I'd rather you wait till week five. What the hell's the difference? Is the line going to get that much better in 4 weeks? Is your left tackle all of a sudden going to turn into Pace?
I'm guessing that there's some concern that week one he goes out and they stink the joint out, and then he's not mentally able to recover from that.
Is that what we're dealing with?
What's
week
that?
One? Cincinnati Bengals defense last year was like 28th in football. You have such an easy landing spot with week one to go out and be like, all right, Drake, not a super tough defense. I know we're on the road here, but it's not a big deal. You can handle this.
He's going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
He's a number three pick.
Right.
If he can't start his career on the road and you're going to try, you want to wait till he can start at Gillette because it'll be friendlier for him. What are we doing?
And Courtney brings this up all the time. And Greg, you said it, but Courtney, you talk about this all the time, and you're spot on. That might be the only difference why some guys couldn't play 20 years ago. If you mentally aren't ready to handle what comes with being an NFL player, why the hell would we even want you on our team?
Right.
That's what Parcells used to do.
Give him
guys.
More credit. Give Drake May more credit. He hasn't given you anything to show that he is mentally weak at all.
Yeah. Courtney is utterly correct about that. All right, what's next?
Good job. We're going to go next. We're going to pivot over to the Boston Red Sox, who have now lost 5 straight games.
I have a million of these. Just let me get to them.
Please. Just sprinkle them in throughout the day.
I will.
Just keep
I
got
you. Thank you.
So we're doing the Red Sox here. They lost 5 in a row now. Jarren Duran spoke yesterday after the game and said the team just needs to get back on the horse.
Well, personally, I know I'm putting a lot of pressure myself, so I just feels like we're putting a little pressure on ourselves. But I think we're fine, man. I mean, I think we just got to get back on the horse and realize that we're a good team and we can play with anybody. I mean, we've proven it all year, and it's just a matter of us believing in ourselves again.
All right. Well, I mean, you got to get back on the horse sooner than later.
Yeah.
You blew both of those yesterday, so. Yeah.
I think that horse kicked you off and you ain't catching it.
You think so? Yeah. Horse is gone?
Yeah, that horse is gone and you ain't catching that horse.
Greg, yesterday it was National Dog Day. They clearly don't have any dog in them.
It was National Dog Day yesterday, and some of us got to see Courtney's puppies.
It's going to be all day, Courtney.
All day. And all you know what? I deserve it.
Is there anything else?
No, that'll do it for They Said It Today. Great job.
Okay, that is it on They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports.
I can't wait till Wednesday because I'm getting...
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. I don't know what day it is.
Yes.
Listen, every day's Friday to me. The whole quarterback situation, I can't wait until they name a starter. So at least we can know with all this, like, because we got to listen to, you know, buffoons like Orlovsky and people saying, don't start him. You got me and the, what did the guy call me yesterday? What did he call me? I forget what the nickname.
Dolt.
A dolt. You got the dolt.
Which some conspiracy theorists are saying that was Curtis texting in because that's Curtis's favorite word.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you got
I didn't even think
about that. Should have checked the number.
We should have. You got the dolts like myself who say stop. Me and Shine will say stop Drake May. I can't wait until Mayo says, here's our starter for week one. So then we can go and we can have the discussion without having to be, I'm sorry, Gerard. I'm still kind of confused. And I don't like to be confused.
Well, I mean, I thought he was gonna decide last night. Wasn't he gonna have it decided by yesterday? When's he gonna tell the team today?
So originally he had said he was gonna have it by yesterday night, but then he said on our show that he wanted to wait until the players were cut, and then he addressed the rest of the room. So I would assume he'll tell all of his team today. So maybe we'll know tonight.
When's the cut day?
Today.
Okay. So they probably today's what, Tuesday? Probably players' day off. We might not know the Wednesday because he might not tell them till the Wednesday morning meeting when they have their first.
But then he usually speaks to media after that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I would say Wednesday.
Yeah, that's why he kind of joked around and said, I'll let you know Wednesday because today's a day off. He does the cuts. Tomorrow morning they probably have a team meeting at, you know, 7:30 or 8 a.m. And that's when he says, here's our starting quarterback.
Speaking of cuts, would you want Donovan Peoples-Jones, Shime?
Sure, him or Tim Patrick, it sounds like, is going to get cut from the Broncos. I'd be interested in either of those guys. I think they're probably better than KJ Osborne, so they're at least worth a flyer.
Couldn't hurt. Why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It couldn't hurt. They're better than Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
Stop throwing some lineman names at me. That's who, because I don't mind the wide receiver core. I'll take whatever help they can get, but I think the young kid Polk looks good. I think Pop Douglas looks good.
Well, Wiggy, you mentioned Trent Williams yesterday. He said he's not reporting until he gets a new contract. So is San Francisco willing to deal him? You were already able to get a deal done for Ayuk. He just wouldn't come here. Are you able to get a deal done for Trent Williams?
I mean, I would take Trent Williams all day long.
You could run left on every play.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to pay him, but I wouldn't have a problem paying him.
All right. Well, who will be the starter week one? You could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Courtney with today's news next.
It's time for...
No longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house.
The news.
It's on your laptop, then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Do a fingerprint or something instead of you having to see my boobs.
Yeah. Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up and I walked?
We have a Karen Reed update.
Oh,
Paul O'Keefe and his family have filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Karen Reed and C.F. McCarthy's in Waterfall Bar and Grill, the two bars they were drinking at the night before John O'Keefe died. Mm. The O'Keefes allege Reed intended the reckless conduct that resulted in John O'Keefe's injuries and death, and allege the bars negligently served alcohol to an intoxicated person.
Mm. Mm. It's going to be difficult to prove. I believe that the Waterfall, is that the place they went to last? The security, I'm very familiar after watching 97 hours per day of live trial action.
Yep.
That there's not the surveillance video there that nobody was drinking. I think John O'Keefe had a beer or something, but
yeah.
But the thing is, now this opens it up to depositions, and everybody can be deposed, and they have to answer honestly when they're all deposed in this. So it should be, I guess, interesting.
Yeah, I just think with everything going on and this being mm-hmm. retried already, this is getting messy.
Yeah,
and does it have to happen after the criminal case?
Oh, that's a good
question.
I think it can move along. You know, in the case of the bars, the insurance companies are the ones that will be defending the civil suit.
Right, but can you have a civil suit when there's still...
You can sue anybody for anything. No, I'm not saying... at any time.
No, but yeah. There's still a criminal case going on.
I think you could have both going on simultaneously.
Okay, all right.
And wouldn't you need to have somebody at the bars that would say, yeah, they like couldn't stand and they were still serving them? It's kind of
you can try it. Like there was a bartender who testified in the first criminal trial... about Karen Reed and was not suggesting that she was necessarily intoxicated. But, all right, we will see. It will be interesting,
yes.
Certainly.
And a sad update on that story of the Massachusetts man who disappeared on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. Stanley Katowski's remains have been found 10 days after he went missing from his family's rental property. The Beaufort County Coroner's Office will conduct an autopsy today to confirm cause and manner of death. He was found underneath a nearby house.
So it wasn't.
Did he just disappear? Like,
well, yes. So they have surveillance video from the rental property of him just leaving one morning, but he's barefoot. He doesn't have his phone on him. No. He's just in a t-shirt and shorts. Those types of videos always feel so eerie to watch, knowing that this is the last time you're going to see this person. Sad. But this guy, when you look at the video, and obviously there's no audio, you don't know what type of
mindset he's in,
but it just seems very normal. Like he's just going outside. Really, really sad. But we'll keep you updated on, you know, manner and cause of death.
Well, it's going to be interesting because we were all like speculating, did he drown? You said there's a lot of
alligators
down there, and now he's under a house.
Let's go to Florida for the next story.
And now
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami,
Florida, not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns, they have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
Dominique Amorosa went to adopt a dog with special needs who has to use a wheelchair to get around in Tampa. Very nice.
Oh, I love little pets in little wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Do you have any video of the dog in the wheelchair? No. Oh, okay.
We do not.
Okay. So she went to adopt this dog.
Yes.
Okay.
But didn't end up happening. The adoption agency found her unfit to be able to adopt this dog.
I feel like if you're going to adopt a dog, even a dog with special needs,
yes,
you have to be pretty unfit to not be chosen as appropriate for adopting a dog.
I think that it is harder to adopt a dog with special needs than it is a dog without.
As it should be.
As it should be, because you do need to care for this dog much more.
Yeah. Right.
But she didn't handle it great. She pulled a gun on the adoption agency.
Wow. Jeez. Yesterday, you pulled a couple bazookas out.
Just one. We can hear from Dominique explaining the situation.
She puts the gun to the back of my head here, makes me crouch, and then she moved it to my temple. This is where I got the cut. I don't know what was on her gun. That's when I started just screaming a bunch in hopes that someone would come out, and my lovely neighbor came out and saw her with my mom and then ran in her house to call 911. Next thing I knew, I hear her cocking a gun. In like the span of 3 to 4 seconds, I had the gun to the back of my head, to my temple, and then before she walked off, she pushed it off my forehead.
God.
Wow. She's passionate. She wants a dog bad, doesn't she?
Like, I hope she's been locked up or something.
And I hope that she can't adopt any pets.
Yeah, ever.
No.
Again.
Yeah. No.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably plenty of stray dogs running around Florida. You can grab one of those. You want a dog that bad.
Yeah. An irrational fear comes true at Six Flags Mexico. The Supergirl Sky Flight ride broke down and left people dangling at the top of the ride, 250 feet in the air.
Hell no.
In the middle of a storm.
Oh my God. Is that it?
That's it. On if you're Twitch? Watching on Twitch.
Oh, on Twitch and YouTube, you can see this. Look at the terror. No, thank you.
What? No. So scary. No. They were stranded there for 10 minutes before they were able to get them down.
Oh, look at that. Out Hell in the no. wild. They're just sitting in, like, chained chairs.
Yes.
There's no way.
Like, yeah. Out in the middle of the air. You said that's 250 feet up?
Yep.
Jesus.
God, I could never.
No.
I hate heights.
You and me both.
I see those videos on Instagram of people, like, jumping over something and then going into a body of water.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or like
parkour,
cliff diving, and they show you the POV of it. Mm-hmm. That makes my stomach drop.
Yeah, this right here has got me feeling all jittery.
I mean, luckily nobody was injured in this, but the scariest part is you're sitting up there, and this is a ride that obviously goes from the ground up, drops, goes up, and you have to be thinking, what if this just drops at any moment?
Oh God. Yeah.
Like, that is...
There couldn't be a cloud in the sky, and the sun could be beaming for 600 miles. Who would get on a ride like that? Oh. It looks like it's just being held together by a couple of chains.
And that's all you have, right? It's basically you have... Do they have seat belts?
They got the little bar.
Yeah, they have the bar.
Yeah, but it looks more like the seats that you would get on if it was like a Ferris wheel.
Right, it is.
You need like more.
Right, like a harness or something.
Yeah, something to protect you. Jeez. I mean, Courtney was in her bathtub yesterday and she deployed her airbags.
That is scary.
All right. Would you want to take a break?
And I would then love
to. We will get to the rest of today's news next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.